Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Hey, warm welcome to the show. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Hope you enjoyed hour one. What an interesting conversation we had with Jarrett Stepman from the Daily Signal. He was bringing us up to speed on what was going on with the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. And then also we talked to Saul Selby. Powerful testimony from Saul, born in a Jewish family in New York, became a drug addict, and then came to faith in Christ. So if those interviews are something you'd want to go back and hear, go to myfaithradio.com. Check it out. Now, this hour, we've got an in-studio guest, Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. And Todd's written a number of books, and he really enjoys talking about all the best for couples, five ways to bring out the best in your spouse. So we're going to talk about that with Todd, and I think it's going to be a lively conversation because I'm a lively guy. And I don't know about Todd, but I know I am. And if you want to call with questions about relationships, I think now's the good time. We call it free counseling. And that's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Or else you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, with questions, and we'll put them on the table, and we'll let Todd sort through them. And but he's got a great little book called All the Best for Couples, Five Ways to Bring Out the Best in Your Spouse. We're going to talk about that in just about a minute. Be right back.
As the lights of the city fade, at that campsite, it's just you, your family, and the stars. So many stars, each shining its own light. And it's amazing to think that the God who holds them all in place is intimately involved in your life. When the sun comes up, you won't see the stars, but they still shine. So as you listen to Faith Radio, we hope you develop the faith to keep seeking and trusting, even when your life's path is unclear. Because He's there. Connecting faith to life. Faith Radio.
A recent study showed that we touch our cell phones 2,617 times per day. A few of those touches can make a real positive difference in your life when you use the free Faith Radio app. You can download the app by searching for Faith Radio in iTunes or Google Play, then start listening to the live stream or past programs right away. The free Faith Radio app. Download it to any connected device today.
All right, we are back. It's 7 minutes after the hour, so glad you're with me today. I've got Todd Mullican in studio from Mullican Counseling in Edina. Todd and I have been friends for a long time, and he does a fantastic job. He's been a guest on the morning show many times when I was the host of that show, and now I have, in the afternoon, I've yet to have him on. So this is his debut appearance on the afternoon show. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Bill.
All right, now let's talk about all the best for couples. Five ways to bring out the best in your spouse. I know that you've got what you call the five A's and the five P's. And I'm going to get some note paper out because I want to take notes on all this.
Got it.
Where do we start? What? Well, the five A's belong to the men or the women?
It's the things that the women need to work on for their spouse, for their husband.
The five things women need to work on for their spouse. All right, yeah. Let's start with five things men need to work on for their spouse.
You went A's and P's.
Let's tenderize the meat a little bit here first.
So after doing counseling for a fair amount of years, I started to see patterns of what, you know, it seemed like would bring out the best in the man in the relationship, what would bring out the best in the woman, and also just some normal patterns under stress that men tend to do that make it difficult in marriage, and sometimes same for the woman. So I just saw those patterns evolving, and I thought, boy, you know, let's just put that together in a little book for folks and see
it.
If that helps.
So, I love it. Yeah. So this is very practical, and you're going to want to get a pen out and jot some of these down because I think you're going to find this to be a really important list to look at and to pray over and to do all that, right?
Absolutely.
Right,
surely.
All right, so we're starting with the five things that women wish men would do.
Mm,
Right. Is that right? Is that where we're starting?
That's a great way to put it.
Is that the five A's or the five P's?
That's a piece. That's a piece. It is.
All right. So let's do the five P's.
Okay.
All right. What are they? What's
so
number one?
So the first thing that I've noticed is it's helpful for the man to pursue his wife.
Pursue. Okay.
Emotionally and spiritually.
Okay.
So oftentimes in the courtship, the man is really good at that. He's really thinking about her. He's, you know, his world is almost all about her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's thinking about her. He's letting her know about that. He's noticing her. He's on the offense towards her, if you will, in a very loving and excitable way. And so then oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes once the man gets married, he doesn't do that as much. And he stops the initiative. He stops creating. He stops coming towards her. And oftentimes a woman feels alone, feels unnoticed, feels like, boy, he's home, but nobody's home.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't mean the woman can't initiate. Of course, she can and do lots of those wonderful things towards her husband. But if the guy can learn how to stay on the offense, in other words, come towards his wife every day with daily sharing, asking her about her world, you know, thinking about her more, just the little things that help her to know that he's thinking about her. I don't know about you, but in general, it takes me about 5 minutes to get ready in the morning. How about you?
Less than that. Yeah.
And I have three daughters that are all in their late 20s. My wife and I have been married 30 years, and they all took a while to get ready in the morning.
Okay.
And my general view of that is women want to be noticed and thought about and cared for in that way, if you will. And it's so great when the guy is doing that in the marriage, when he's coming towards her spiritually, say, hey, what'd you think of the sermon? Or, you know, what do you see God doing in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And just gentle discussions. It's not about hitting a home run every time.
Mm.
But be on the offense, come towards her versus kind of being coming home and detaching or coming home and withdrawing or coming home and not being for her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first P is play to win.
Okay, awesome.
Pursue.
Yeah. Now, I wasn't probably going to take calls until the second half of the hour, but I already have someone on the line, and I'm not going to make her wait a half hour.
Surely.
She wants to remain anonymous from Lakeville. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. So my question is, I'm just wondering, as a woman, what it looks like to follow the lead of a man in a relationship. I've had just a lot of passive relationships in my life, or passive men, which made me feel like I needed to be independent. And I'm really struggling on what it actually looks like to be led by a man.
Mm. Great question.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah.
Well, again, I think it's such a great question because a lot of relationships out there have a dynamic where the woman's more assertive and healthy in pursuing and thinking about the relationship, and the man is more internal and passive. Maybe it's an extrovert-introvert thing. Maybe it's a guy not knowing his own feelings and being more withdrawn and internalizing. And that is a very strong dilemma that the woman has there. So this isn't about staying passive when the man is passive. It's about, you know, asserting your own needs and saying what's on your mind and maybe drawing the guy out a little bit so the man starts to feel more comfortable initiating and creating. So I think, you know, you're bringing up a really important issue. I think I've noticed with passive guys in general, they're sometimes afraid of saying the wrong thing, or they're afraid of not knowing what they're feeling or thinking, and are more withdrawn or more internal. So I think it's healthy, you know, if the guy's healthy and, you know, loves the Lord and is a good guy, to draw him out and ask him what he thinks, what's going on, what are your thoughts about the week, you know, just try to engage in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I really recognize her dynamic, her issue there. It's a very common one for men or for women.
That's a great call. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, Todd, we're at 1P, 4 to go. First one was pursue, emotional, spiritual. What would be number two?
Planning dates and times together.
Planning. Uh-oh. There are a lot of guys in trouble right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So oftentimes...
Didn't we go to commercial or something?
So oftentimes a woman feels like, okay, I need to be the social worker, the pastor, the event planner, the all the above, and has all these initials after her name. And, you know, it doesn't mean that the woman, you know, shouldn't plan or initiate. It's all good. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But it's really nice. I've just found women enjoy it when the guy comes towards her and says, hey, how's the week look for you, honey? What, I'd love to see you. Wouldn't be a good night for a date? When's our next getaway as a couple? versus kind of knowing when his next tee time is. And again, nothing wrong with golfing, nothing wrong with, mm-hmm. you know, having good individual time. We need that as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But coming towards and initiating planning. So one of the ways I help couples find the 50-yard line is try to, for a while on a Sunday night, just look at their week, look at their month. Now, again, some guys are natural planners, Bill, where they're, you know, they're maybe a little bit naturally better at that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're planning all day at work, sometimes they don't want to do that at home. But I always say, save the best for home, give work your leftovers. And mm-hmm. usually we do it the other way around.
Aren't guys a little bit, they don't take rejection very well? If you say to your wife, Todd, you know, hey, honey, I'm taking you to my favorite steakhouse tonight. Mm-hmm. She goes, I don't want to go to that steakhouse.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden you've made plans and you think this is going to be a hit and it backfires on you.
Yeah.
How often are you going to do that then?
Well, hopefully more than once.
hopefully, we
put on our big boy pants and not aren't afraid of doing it wrong.
Okay.
Right? So this isn't about, you know, well, here, you know, you better figure me out. And
right.
a lot of guys will say to their wife, well, I can't read your mind. You got to tell me. And ooh, then we're creating a dynamic where the woman feels like the mother of the guy, and that's a lose-lose.
So
a lot of times the guy feels like, well, just tell me what to do. I can't read your mind.
Yeah.
You know, tell me what to do. And that's not the worst thing in the world, but I think it puts the woman in a dilemma saying, well, you know, come towards me, you know.
Yeah.
And so even if the guy picks the wrong steakhouse, that's okay. He
is
just wants to see
thing,
her.
Is there such a Todd, as the wrong steakhouse?
Boy, I hope not.
I don't believe there is.
I mean, I like a couple, but, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it might be an idea to say, hon, I'm thinking about you. Where would you like to go?
Yeah.
You know. So planning dates and times together. Kind of be the initiator of that. Don't wait for your wife to say, hey, when are we going out? And come on, get on it. You know, get after it.
Yeah. All right, let's see if we can squeeze one more P in before the break. One was pursue, second was planning, and number three is what?
Being a good parent, being
okay.
involved as a parent. So if there are children involved, it's really important that the guy is a gentle giant in the home emotionally, where he's not condescending, he's not, you know, a last word Larry kind of parent, where he has to be right. But he's more engaged with his kids. He asks his kids what they think, what they feel. He treats his wife well. So he's modeling what it means to be a nurturing guy in the home.
All right. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, more with Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina, Minnesota. If you have a question for Todd about relationships, give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Or else you can email me, Bill, at myfaithradio.com. If you would like to not come on the show live, we'll take a short break and be back. Minutes after the hour, Todd Mullican is my guest in studio. Very glad he came into the studio. He is from Mullican Counseling in Edina. I just don't know how he came up with the name of that counseling center. I just don't. It's just you hire an agency.
You've kind of milked that one a while.
I don't sense it's a new audience. It's a brand new audience.
Yeah, it took me quite a while.
Yeah. All right, we're talking about all the best for couples, the five ways to bring out the best in your spouse. And right now we are talking about what we call the five P's, the things that women want men to do.
Yep.
And we started with the first three P's are pursue, be a planner, and be a good parent. So.
Well done.
Three down, two to go.
Okay. Next one is a bit complex. It has two parts to it. It's protecting your wife from anger and criticalness. Or your mother. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, my general experience is that oftentimes with couples, you know, Jesus came full of truth and grace, right? We read that in John.
Yeah.
So I found in a lot of couples, one person's really good with the truth, one person's really good with grace. One person's really good with having a need to be right, one person's really wanting to be liked. In general, sometimes you have two truth tellers together. Like my wife and I are both firstborn, so we have some good ideas on how the other person can become a better Christian, and become a better parent, and, you know, give each other good advice.
Yeah.
On that, right.
You guys are good at that, huh?
Yeah, we're very talented. We've got that figured out. And sometimes you have two passive people together, but they never make a call to go to counseling because they can't make a decision.
Huh.
So oftentimes there's one of each. So,
okay.
In that spirit, when I have found anyway over years and years of counseling, like if the man is more of that direct person, kind of out there with his feelings, out there with his thoughts, oftentimes he can have an issue of irritability and anger. And the woman that he's married to feels, you know, even if there isn't any actual, you know, verbal abuse, he still feels a bit interrogated under stress. She feels just unsafe emotionally. So how is he doing protecting her? So he's regulating his anger versus his anger regulating him. You know, we read in Ephesians, right, in your anger do not sin. Doesn't say don't get angry, but don't sin in your anger. I think it's Proverbs 29:11 says don't give full vent to your anger. So if a man is kind of a flaw finder guy, you know, he's kind of at work fixing problems, finding issues, he's got to make sure he doesn't come home and do the same thing. He's got to come home with more of that spirit of what he's for with his wife. You know, what is he looking forward to? Is he thinking about the three things he loves about her or the three things she's not doing yet? You know, what is on his mind? So a lot of women that are more of that pleaser kind of woman needs protection from that emotionally. But there's... Go ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say that on the other hand, probably what's even more common, Bill, is when I have a woman that's more direct, more expressive, very in touch with her feelings and knows what she's doing and is decisive and kind of has a plan. Oftentimes she's married to a guy that's more internal, more passive, doesn't know his feelings, is internal with his thoughts and withdraws under stress and avoids in conflict. And sometimes I've noticed that that man has a mother that kind of is more direct and meddling and kind of getting involved too much. And boy, I wish I had a dollar for every time I've had, you know, a woman say, it feels like he's choosing her over me. Because he'll say to her, well, you know, he'll say to his wife, you know, Mom really didn't mean to say that. I mean, she really loves you. God loves you. I love you. Jesus loves you. I think we're fine, right? And she's going, no, I'm hurt by what he said, what she said to me. What are you going to do about that? Well, the woman could direct that to his wife and say, hey, that was hurtful what you said yesterday afternoon. That's fine. But it's also an extra sense if the man says, golly, you know, Mom, when you said that to my wife, that was really hurtful, and please don't talk to her like that. I've noticed that that's important. And it really is a big step for the man to do that, not to be against his mom, but to be for his wife. And that can be a big issue for people. So the woman needs protection if she's married to a guy that's kind of direct and isn't regulating his emotions. She needs him to be a safe person emotionally. And sometimes she needs protection if it's more of a passive guy from perhaps, you know, being married still to his mother versus her.
All right.
It's a pattern I've seen a lot of.
Okay. Very interesting. Four down, one to go. We're still in the P's. We got the A's to go. That's coming up in the second half hour. So let's talk about the fifth P.
And this was tough because the editor said they all had to begin with P. Okay. And you need five of them, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right. So it's being present emotionally.
Okay.
And so the idea here is it's not as much about how much each person is working. It's more about when the guy is home, is he really home? Is he really looking for his wife? Is he connecting? Is he drawing her out? Is he emotionally present? Is he just completely, you know, sorry for the stereotype, is he looking at ESPN 24/7 versus kind of looking towards his wife and having some gentle conversations, being a team from 5 to 9 to put the kids down? And he's just there. You know, he comes home, and whether they're both working or one's just working or whatever, he comes home and, wow, you know, his wife feels that. It feels like he's not coming towards her in a pursuit ways, but he's being present. He's not distracted. He's all in.
How well does that work?
Not very well.
I didn't think so.
No, I'd lose my job if guys did that better.
If you saw it work so fast?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times, you know, I do think if you read from in Genesis, hey, what did God say to Adam? Hey, to dust you are, to dust you shall return. You'll be totally enough to selfish gain your whole life. So I think still these days guys throw too much of their identity in what they do.
So I'm just thinking, Todd, if a guy comes home and he's had a really hard day, and you know what it might be like to have a 8 or 10 hour day of nonstop, and you can't walk through the door and just be Mr. Wonderful.
Right.
Maybe you got to look through the mail.
Yeah.
Maybe you got to take your shoes off.
Yep.
Maybe you just have to not talk for 10 minutes.
Yes.
Is the woman going to feel like the husband's not present?
Right. So again, what's their truth? Right. Are they, you know, is he giving her, shooting her a text late in the day? The other thing I tell a lot of couples is let each other in versus take things out on each other. So if the truth is the guy's had a bad day, well, let her in on that. Say, you know, on the way home, day's been horrific. How's it been going
all
for you?
All you do is complain.
What?
All you do is complain.
So, yeah, what's the truth? Is he doing my 5-to-1 where we're looking at five affirmations at one, or is he just a negative?
Yeah.
Does he have a negative bias? Is he untreated depression? Is he overwhelmed? Is he? But guess what? Your wife could care what you do. Just she wants to know that you're there and that you're present. So you get to do this. Not about you should or you better or you oughta.
Mm-hmm.
You get to do it because the beauty of marriage is you get to be a team, you know?
Yeah.
Stop this provision worry and know that you're in this together and we'll figure it out. So it's a release. It's not about doing it right and being, hey, honey, let's talk for 43 minutes about your feelings and and see our therapist tomorrow. No, it's just it's some of that sometimes, of course, if we're in trouble. But also it's about just coming home and being real and being present.
Mm-hmm. But there has to be a space where there's grace, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Where there's grace because
we're going to get to the A's in a minute.
We are. Okay.
Yeah, we'll
but
get
if,
to
if
those.
If you come in the door and you feel like after reading this book, my wife is going to be judging you.
Yeah.
Your wife's going to be judging you about how present you are.
Yes.
You're going to feel like, oh, now I got to perform.
Right.
And that's not authentic.
No. And then we're just keeping score. And then the guy who has a need to be liked is always, you know, shooting and missing because he's doing it based on his wife's mood versus doing it because he loves her.
Mm-hmm. All right. So these five P's, pursue, plan, parent, protect, and be present. Are these five things you work on all at once or do you pick one? And can you improve one at a time, or is it a comprehensive program?
It's different for everybody. you get to decide. It's kind of fun as a couple. Hey, how's it going? It's not about keeping score. And, hey, you know, here's a book I need you to read, honey. Most people do that. You know, most people are keeping score versus looking in the mirror.
Right.
So it's about if I'm the guy, I'm looking in my own mirror saying, hey, you know, I get to do this really well, not only for me, for my wife. Mm-hmm. If we have children, generational stuff, that's how God works.
Yeah. Does this feel like the person is genuinely trying and or is it does it feel would a guy feel like he's applying these techniques?
Yeah. So right, is your heart in it or not?
I mean, because guys will practically do anything.
Most guys will, but then they're doing it because they're afraid of being wrong. Get off of that train and doing it because you get to do it. You get to become towards her. You get to figure out how it's going, but don't be controlled by her mood. Instead,
what does that mean?
Well, a lot of the guy you're talking about is the guy that's worried about doing it wrong.
Oh, sure.
Hey, Todd, it didn't work because she got upset.
Okay.
Or, you know, I did it wrong, so I better not try anymore.
Boo-hoo.
No. You just,
boo-hoo.
Get over the pity party,
okay.
You know, stop sucking your thumb and go out to play and let's go.
All right, cool. We're going to take a break. When we come back, lots more with Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. If you have a question for Todd about relationships, 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And we will get your question on the air. Or if you want to email me, you can do that so I can read your question so you don't have to come on the program. You could email me at bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in just a little bit.
So what's your page limit these days? The Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. A page shouldn't be a tough thing to turn, but for countless smartphone owners, reading books, either in paper or digital form, has become really hard. Last year I read 4 books, admits Hugh McGuire in the San Francisco Chronicle. I needed a little something else, something to scratch that little itch at the back of my mind, just a quick look at email on my iPhone, or to write and erase a response to a funny tweet. See, he's describing that battle that we all face in this age of distraction. Constantly available electronic stimulus in various forms is rewiring our brains. It's making it difficult for us to read and to think. Think deeply. But here's the good news. You see, electronic detox is possible. McGuire went on to describe how banishing mobile devices just from his bedroom offered him the mind space he needed to settle back into books. And to really love God with all of our minds and to deeply engage his book and any others that are worthy of our attention, it may mean that we do likewise. With today's point, I'm John Stone Street.
We are back. It's 32 minutes after the hour. A little banjo music from Noam Pikelny. Went and saw him in concert and could hardly stand it. The mouth was open the whole time. Anyway, we have in studio Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina, Minnesota, and we're talking about all the best for couples, five ways to bring out the best in your spouse. And if you missed the first half hour, you're going to want to go back and hear all of it, because we're moving on now to the five A's, and this is what men wished their wives would do. We started with what women wished men would do. Now we're switching, so now it's getting scarier. All right, Todd, go ahead. Begin.
Oh, these are so hard.
Yeah.
So
this is the five A's.
Yes.
Okay.
And they all have to begin with the same letter.
Of course.
And of course, you know.
That's the publisher says. Yeah. Todd, make sure they're all in the same letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first one comes from Romans 15, verse 7. Accept one another as Christ accepts us in order to bring praise to God.
Okay. Expand on that, please.
Sure. So we don't accept adultery, addiction, abuse, untreated mental illness. All those things need to be addressed if they're there.
Okay.
So we're not talking about accepting those things, okay? Let me just clear that up. But in general, when the guy is not pursuing, not initiating, I have found that most women look at who their guy isn't versus who he is.
Mm.
They're focusing too much on what he's not yet versus who he is. And that really is hurtful to the guy in the same way that it's hurtful to the woman that he's home but nobody's home and she feels disconnected emotionally from mm-hmm. him. And that's the primary reason a lot of women come into counseling. They just don't feel emotionally connected. You know, he's home, but he's a roommate. He's not coming towards me. We're not connecting. We're not having discussions. So in the same way, the guy tends to feel like he doesn't do anything right. He's not getting it right. He's doing it wrong. And so it doesn't mean the woman shouldn't express her feelings when she's upset and disagree. All that's great and important. It's just, is the woman looking at who he is versus who he isn't yet? Because men want to feel more accepted for who they are. Because in general, most of us are pretty hard on ourselves.
Men?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean women aren't on them, but.
Yeah. Is themselves. Respect a kissing cousin to accept?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think where that gets tricky is, you know, this doesn't mean the woman agrees with the man all the time. Okay. This is not about agreeing or acquiescing or mm-hmm. something that, in my opinion, is really unhealthy.
Yeah.
But rather.
Whatever acquiesce means.
So maybe, yeah, we can talk off later about that. So it's more about, again, it's a spirit of, again, if the guy is thinking about his wife and coming towards her and being emotional and pursuing healthy romance and a loving spiritual life together, that's just awesome stuff. And when he feels from his wife like she generally is looking at who he is versus who he isn't and feeling more accepted for what he does, which doesn't mean there aren't disagreements. It doesn't mean the woman can't share it. And, hey, when this happened yesterday, my feelings were hurt. Absolutely, we're all over that. But what is her, how is she viewing him? Okay, is she viewing who he is, or he's not that yet?
Mm-hmm. So, if I can summarize this, Todd, when you say accept, is part of the point to this is for a woman to love the man they have and not the man they don't have.
I like that?
Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah,
because that can be a problem if the comparison game kicks in.
Yes. And, you know, and I love Hallmark channels, but not every relationship has that type of perfect romantic connectivity all the time,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't mean we need to settle, doesn't mean we lower our expectations. Mm-hmm. It just means we get to have more of God's eyes for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We get to do that.
Yeah. So,
because the alternative is worse. The alternative is, you know, we're ruminating on what he isn't yet. And if what he isn't is a big deal, then ruminate on that and let's get help for that, okay? But if it's something like, you know, he's not quite as expressive as I thought, or he, you know, doesn't do this quite as much as I'd hoped, and they just don't let go of that, that's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Number two in the A category.
In the same vein, okay. It's affirming, affirming what he has done, not making things up. Hey, thanks for your help with that, or, you know, I appreciate what you do with the kids or with work. Or, you know, yesterday was a great date. Thanks for your help on that. And I really enjoyed that. You know, don't make it up, but talk about it when it is true, when it is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, the fourth symptom of narcissism is an excessive need for admiration. That's not okay. So we're not trying to fill the hole of a narcissist. We're just saying that in general, a healthy guy, what they order for me about what brings out their best it isn't, you know, about, you know, sexuality first. It's more about feeling accepted, feeling affirmed, looking at who they are versus who they're not. I remember I have a lot of these kind of situations where, you know, let's say a guy, let's just make something up, a guy's working for his father, let's say. And his father, and he gets a great account. And is he nails a big account for his dad's company. Let's say the guy's in his mid-late 30s. And he comes in and tells his dad, he's so excited, hey, we got this account, we're doing great. The dad says, call him Joe. You know, Joe, your tie's off a little bit there. You know, why don't you take care of that? Okay, and so, right? So it doesn't mean that when he goes home, the woman needs to gush all over him and affirm all that. But the truth for many men is they didn't receive acceptance or approval, which isn't a woman's job to deal with that. The guy needs to receive that from his heavenly father.
Right.
And though he's loved, accepted, and approved. But it's also just an innate need I've seen for men in general.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't mean every guy that needs that has carloads of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Most men, if they're honest with you, will say, feeling affirmed for what I do well is nice. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But men for the most part, like to get attention, don't they? Like fix the door handle and they go, honey, come here, check this out. Look what I fixed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they can't get enough affirmation.
Yeah. Again, so what's the truth? You know, if the truth is there's a big hole and, you know, welcome to Narcissism Central and they meet 7 of the 9 symptoms, then we got a problem, okay? But if the truth is he's a good guy and he's just, you know, kind of hard on himself, just don't nickel and dime him. Don't look at who he is and look at who he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's as important for the man as it is for the woman to feel pursued, to feel noticed, to feel thought about, in my opinion, what I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. What about when couples just go, you know, the wife will say, the light's out in the pantry. And the guy thinks she's just made an observation. And the woman thinks that's your clue to change it.
Yeah.
They completely missed each other.
Yeah. And so then we have what I call a clarifying conversation, which hopefully happens, where the guy... So if the truth is, you know, don't bring something down into the resentment bank that I call, especially people pleasers have, avoiders have, that they build a slow resentment bank account.
Mm.
You know, well, look at what my wife or my husband said to me there. I'm not going to share what I think because that won't go well. So, whoop, I'll put in my little resentment account. And then by the time they get to halftime, they're on the top of Anger Mountain.
Right, okay? Right.
So let's just bring it up. Say, hey, hon, when you said that, it felt like I wasn't doing the light bulb right or what's going on there?
Yeah, but if things go quiet for the rest of the night, the guy's going to go, oh, that wasn't worth it.
Yeah, and then he's going to say, I did the wrong thing versus, like, oh, I just shared what was on my mind. So the clarifying conversation is that, you know, were you frustrated with me about the light bulb? And then we get to clarify, and her truth probably is, no, I just let you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he chooses to believe that. He believed the best of each other versus, gotcha. No, I don't trust you yet on that. No, I don't really think that's what you meant. Okay, then good luck with that.
Because
then we're living in the mistrust. We're looking at who they aren't versus trying to believe the best, not because we're dumb, stupid, and naive, but because we're trying to honor God in our trust for each other and create a safe, attached relationship like we have with our Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm. All right. Two down, three to go in the A department.
Now we're going into the shallowness of men theme here a little bit. So the third A is affection.
Okay.
So this, let's talk about what it does mean versus what it doesn't mean. Is how is the couple doing with pursuing a sense of mutual affection, you know, non-sexual touch, intimacy, closeness, snuggling, cuddling.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time I've seen that it's really important for the guy. And so how does a woman doing with initiating some of that? Okay. And coming towards him for their intimate life, how are they doing not keeping score about who's initiating that time, but how are they doing just caring for each other? And so is a woman comfortable with pursuing touch and affection and initiating that?
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time or something like that, but just kind of doing her part, because more often than not, I've heard from men that that's really important for them. Doesn't mean it's not for the woman, because the other thing about these P's and A's, Bill, it's not like it's always this for the guy and always that for the gal.
Sure.
Sometimes it's the other way around.
These are general rules, aren't they?
Right. So it's not always that, but in general, I see that.
Okay. The next one would be number 4. What would that be?
Does the woman herself feel attractive? Okay. Now, here's what it doesn't mean. Okay. Does a woman feel attractive? This doesn't mean how does a woman look? Because then we have objectification.
Right.
We have lots of problems. And so my experience, if ever the woman is feeling like, well, I've got to look a certain way in order for him to love me or care about me, in my experience, we've got some issues. with the man objectifying, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I have found over 30 years of doing this that the guy is really drawn to his wife when she feels emotionally, physically, spiritually attractive. When she feels attractive, that is really engaging for the man. They put that on as a very important thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
So how does, like for me, I was most attracted to my wife in her 8th month of her first pregnancy with Ashley, our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She just glowed and she was excited and she was all over life and had a great time. So again, it's more because I sensed her glow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh,
so that
yeah.
That's what a healthy guy is drawn to. So how? So that's what's important. The fourth A for the guy.
Okay. So does the woman feel attractive?
Yes.
All right. That sounds like it's got a lot of areas for discussion.
Yes. Like
still.
I tried to say, what it isn't. Okay. What
right.
It's not is, hey, I have to look a certain way. It's more.
I get that.
Hey, I get to. Yeah. I get to, you know, I enjoy who I am. And that's, in my experience for men, they're drawn to that.
Of course
they enjoy
are.
That.
But isn't there a lot of work that women have to do then?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They have to look at who they're for in Christ versus what they're not yet. Or
yeah.
They have to look at, you know, what they're for with who they are and
yeah.
what they celebrate and their gifts and their talents and their beauty emotionally, internally, externally, whatever their story is, they get to do that.
All right. Now we are down to number 5, I believe, the fifth A.
Yeah. And this one is called accountability.
Ooh.
Yeah, and this is a tricky one, and I've just had way too many stories to not include it. So one thing I've noticed a lot, Bill, is that it seems like the woman is so aware. Like, you know, what did God say to Eve, by the way? I told you what he said to Adam, right? The dust you are, to dust you shall return. And you're totally after selfish gain your whole life. So my view of that is like, as men, we throw too much of our identity in who we are and what we do. Too much of it is there versus if we're married, just enjoy that and, you know, work hard at what you do. But have more of your identity besides it being in Jesus and being who you are as a couple and as a family.
Mm-hmm.
You get to do that. And, you know, go to work hard, enjoy your work, but don't be defined by it. Well, God said to Eve, hey, there'll be pain in your childbirth, and your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So my view of that, and I haven't had a pastor correct me on this, so maybe I'm wrong, but my view of that is I think sometimes women throw too much of their identity in what the guy is thinking. They're in our head too much about, I wonder what that, or, you know, they're just too, you know, it's too important sometimes, in my opinion. So because of that, the good news about that, I've seen many, many, many situations where the guy just doesn't get the fact that, hey, we should hang out with this couple, or, hey, let's sign up for BSF, or let's do this stuff. And it doesn't mean a woman has to drive all that, but the woman kind of, I have found a lot of times, just they see that stuff better. So it's not her duty. I'm just saying when the woman says, hey, you know, let's, what about, you know, Bob and Suzanne? Let's invite them over. It'd be great to see them. The guy, you know, normal guy, yeah, it'd be great. Thanks, or appreciate you bringing that up. Or so the accountability is sometimes it's helpful if the woman kind of has some discernment about what they see with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that men in general appreciate that. Not so that she's a social worker, the planner, and all that other stuff I talked about, but kind of engaging in that is helpful.
Todd, are couples nice to each other?
Well, the research says that we're not.
Okay.
The research says that the reason why one of the main research things we talk about is this idea of 5-to-1. Try to give each other 5 affirmations for every 1 criticism.
All right. I want to talk about what that looks like, specifics, because I think that's helpful. We're going to take a little break. We're talking to Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. If you have a question, we still have time. Take a caller or two or an email, bill@myfaithradio.com, or call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back. Minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here in studio with my friend Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina. I just got a letter from a listener that said, how can I help my wife see herself the way I see her as an attractive woman of God?
Mm. Boy, that's a great question.
Beautiful question.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would say stay in that same spirit. you know, he's, again, we aren't responsible for each other's feelings, but we get to, you get to come towards her and let her know how beautiful she is. And you get to do that. And you also get to say, if she's really being hard on herself, sweetie, I love you. It feels like you're being hard on yourself. What do you think? So in contexts, look, pray for a window of opportunity where you can share, gal, I'm sad because it feels like you don't view yourself as loving or lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sad about that because I love you. I think you're amazing. You
know, yeah.
And just kind of have a safe conversation about it. Don't fix it. Don't solve it. Listen to understand. Don't go in there and try to rescue it.
Okay. Here comes the hard questions. Rebecca?
Thanks, Bill.
Good luck, Todd.
I guess I didn't realize women
I'll be getting coffee if you need me.
This whole couples relationship thing is so complicated. And I have a month of experience of marriage, so I'm clearly the one to ask these questions. I think I've been taking notes, Todd, so I really appreciate your expertise. One thing you've been mentioning has been being for each other all the time. And that seems to contrast with, you know, but right up against the selfish nature that we have. We all kind of want our own way. We all kind of think the way we think is right, the way we do things is right. So when you're in another house with someone all the time with this other person, and they think that they have the right way to do it. just asking for a friend.
Right.
This person you know.
This will remain nameless. How do we sort of confront that and get in the habit of laying down our own interests and looking after the other person's interests and then communicating that in a spirit that says, this is because I love you and care about you, not because it's some kind of competition. I'm going to assume the best from you. It's not us versus one another. How do we start that kind of cycle as a habit?
Yeah, well, that's a great. Well, you're nailing it.
It's for my friend.
Well, one of the things I teach about as a professor is that attitudes tend to predict behaviors. So, again, sometimes it's as simple as I've got about a 45-minute drive home. If I think about on the way home the three things my wife, you know, she just doesn't. Here's the three things she really needs to work on. You know, it's not going to be a good night. If I leave here and think about what I'm for with her, will I love her? Not because I'm dumb, stupid, and naive and have my head in the sand.
But you are a little.
Well, okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Well, thanks for
the friends. We're never going to come back.
Thanks for the
he'll
A.
Be back.
Thanks
he'll
for
be
the
back.
A.
Difference between men and women, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It's just I'm going to have a better night because I'm thinking about what I'm for versus what I'm against. Mm. And I think, you know, in our field, especially in my field of counseling, it's good to know what you're against when you're dealing with big time issues of adultery, addiction, abuse and trauma and things that people go through that are really hard. But you also get to be for each other. So one of the ways I've helped couples find the 50-yard line and start the process is as simple as each day, you know, how are you choosing to think about each other? Have the hard conversations, do the 5-to-1.
Let's talk about the 5-to-1. Because if I say, boy, Todd, you're kind, you're considerate, you're thoughtful, you're insightful. Don't you ever leave garbage in my car again.
Right.
I mean, is that the way it works?
Yeah, what's louder, right?
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and then I feel like I just got set up.
Yes.
I go, oh, here comes the sucker
punch.
Here comes
the sandwich.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's called the affirmation sandwich, right? Give you a few nice things and kaboom, and then a couple of nice things at the end, but ban that.
Yeah, but the only thing I hear is the kaboom.
Yeah. So then we have to tell ourselves the truth. If the truth is somebody has had, you know, we've had a good rhythm as a couple. We talked about some stuff we're for, but we've also had a hard conversation. What are you defined by as a couple? You better not be defined by the thing your spouse is hurt by or what they're disappointed in you. Be defined by the 9 things that also are amazing. So learn from the hard stuff, but be defined by your victories. So I think most of us, when we have a tough conversation, you know, hurt people, you know, and maybe we can talk about it another time, but how to have a safe conversation together about things we disagree with. But to do the spirit of the 5-to-1 is not to avoid conflict or stick our head in the sand. It's to also, we got to go play. I mean, when I'm working with a pre-marriage couple in my office, it's a little nauseating. Okay. I mean, you know, it's like, well, what do you guys think your issues are?
We don't have any.
You know, whether 20 or 50, you know, so, and there's something beautiful about that. Okay. Now, maybe there's some naivete there too, right?
Maybe some chemicals in their brain that are working over, they're overloaded a little bit.
Truth, right?
I mean, that's a physiological reality,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, but again, are we looking at what we're for with each other versus what we're against? We have the hard conversation. We have the one, and we try to do that better. We try to maybe talk about this another time. We try to speak without offending, We try to listen without defending. We sometimes agree to disagree. But we for sure own our own part in conflict. If I've said something hurtful to my wife, or if I've iced her out for a day and I have my own pity party, I better come back with a spirit of confession and owning my side of the street. So the 5-to-1 is a beautiful national research thing that a lot of national researchers have talked about, how that really helps a couple just create a language in the home that models, you know, who we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we viewing ourselves, or are we viewing each other as how God views your spouse? Right? You know, are we looking at that?
Yeah, but shouldn't you be building up a bank of positive affirmations? Because if you start in on the positive affirmations, the other person could go, uh-oh, here it comes.
It comes, right.
Yeah, you don't want to make it like I'm manipulating. I'm actually using a technique, because what I really want to do is give you the kapowie.
Right.
You know, the bad news.
Well, remember, the people that have a need to be liked and think that conflicts are bad need to just kind of take it easy. Mm-hmm. And realize that conflicts are normal. In fact, the word peace comes from the idea that we've managed a conflict well to come to a place of peace.
Mm.
So I think part of what we have to get used to is that the one hard conflict that we have doesn't have to define our day or our week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's save our very best for the very worst of times. So we shouldn't avoid conflict. We shouldn't look for them and create them out of nowhere. But that spirit of 5-to-1 is helping you change your eyes for each other.
Mm-hmm. What about getting over a wound that's just been devastating?
Mm. So, again, what's the truth? If it's something that the couple has gone through together, then I usually try to get them into a place of recovery together.
Mm-hmm.
So if something's traumatic happened to them as a couple, they need to work through some recovery together as a couple. So it's not just wearing their marriage counseling T-shirts and being all set and rah-rah. You know, they have to recover together. There has to be trust rebuilt. There has to be forgiveness. There needs to be remorse. There needs to be reassurance. So we need to get through. If something really difficult has happened, we need to work through that. But also not be defined by it for the next 10 years, but learn from it together. So we don't avoid the recovery, but we also got to play a little bit while we're in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if something's happened to somebody else, because a lot of times what happens is we create a marriage that we saw growing up. So if we've had our own traumas from our stories growing up, we better be aware of that. If I grew up in an alcoholic home and, you know, I have, you know, a child of alcoholic kind of tendencies, and I really need to make sure I know that I'm not in that home anymore.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm in a new home.
Right.
You know, I'm in a new home with my spouse.
But all you know is your previous home.
Right. So I need to be able to say, you know, get out of the house of fear and into the house of truth, I call it. So what's the truth about who we are today? Well, Todd, it kind of reminds me of where I've been. Okay, well, what's the truth about that? Tell me about your feelings, what you're afraid of. And then how do we together create a home to be the safe place? So to your question, you know, it's a hard question to answer in a minute and a half, but, you know, if it's a trauma from earlier in our story, let's learn about that trauma and make sure it doesn't define our story, but we learn from it. Because now we have a new narrative, a new script that we can move into in our story of marriage and not repeat what we saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about if bringing that story up is just too dangerous of an idea?
Mm-hmm.
And the person thinks, well, I don't even know if it's worth bringing up because I'll just quietly live and suffer the rest of my life.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a plan. You know, I'd rather have the idea of my first boundary is have an honest conversation, okay, and let's do it as safe as we can, as confidently as we can. Let's know that it's going to be hard, but let's not be defined by it because we're for each other.
Yeah.
You know, we're for each other even through the trauma, the difficulty. We are for each other.
All right, Todd Mullican has been my guest. Mullican Counseling in Edina is where you can go learn more about him and his books and his counseling services. And that wraps up the show. Thank you so much for listening today. If you want to go back and hear any of the content from today's show, you can go to myfaithradio.com and check out the podcast, or maybe you want to send it on to a friend, someone that might really enjoy hearing what you just heard. So that wraps up the show. Have a great night, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.